like Brian kicked off the service. Brian, excuse me, that's my brother, Ryan. Just talking about the darkness on this and on the world. I mean, you don't have to be a spiritual giant to just see that we are in the last days. You know, I mean, it's sick, gross darkness that is on just the deception and everything else that is happening in this world. It's like, God, you know, I'm a parent. How do I raise my kids? How do I be a husband? How do we do these things in this crazy world? If there's ever a time, we got to get close to Jesus. He's the one that's going to help us get through it all. So I got some invitations that still ring true today. And they all came from Jesus. Jesus is still saying, come unto me. His invitation is, come unto me. Who's done that? I can look around and we got most home folks here.
Amen.
You've come unto him.
Amen.
And he is your Savior. He gives you rest. Let me read it. Matthew 11:28. I'll read it, Alan, don't worry. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What kind of rest do we find in him? We can rest assured. We can completely know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
We completely know that the weight of sin has been lifted off and that he is our Lord. He is our Savior. What about another one that Jesus, he said, John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and hollered. I like it. I like he just got up and hollered. All this religious dry junk. Somebody, he hollered, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You got to be thirsty. You got to be hungry. He's inviting us all again and again and again to come unto him and drink. What did Brother Philip Baker, he said that when he was here 2 weeks ago, he talked about going deep, casting your nets out to the deep. Here's the thing. We can stay in the shallows, but it's what we can control. What is he saying here? He says, come unto me, drink that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. You can stay in the kiddie pool and control it, or you can go ahead and get in the river. Amen. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. And hey, he had not been given yet because Jesus had not been glorified, but Jesus has been glorified, so it has been given. Amen?
Yeah.
So we now have the Holy Ghost that is likened unto a river, the rivers of God. Kind of think of myself as an old river rat. Might as well grab a tube and jump in and enjoy it.
Amen.
Because if you stay in the shallow, oh, I can control this. I can control this river where I'm at. But you might as well just get on in.
Yes.
Look, I'm even crazy enough to think this. Out of the throne of God, there's a river.
Amen.
There's a river. Yeah, look, heaven's not going to be a museum.
No, that's right.
There's not going to be nuns with yardsticks if you walk on the golden streets.
That's right.
Or if you holler or run or anything else. I'm just crazy enough to think, could I go tubing in that river? My cutoffs? And jump on in, amen?
Amen.
What am I saying? He's calling us. He's inviting us. He's saying, come unto me. I'm going to give you rest. Come unto me and drink. Get past the shallows and get out in the deep.
Amen.
Let your life see change after change after change.
Amen.
So, those are simple invitations. But he has another one even so. Hey, Jack. Hey, buddy. That's my buddy. Hey. What does Jesus have another invitation? He says, abide in me. You're good to come to him, no doubt. Your life has changed forever.
That's right.
But you're better to stay with him.
Amen.
You're better to abide in him. To better to remain in him. Better to continue in him. And this is what I want to go next. In John 15. So I was praying. Pastor asked me about over a month ago. And I was like, all right, Lord, what direction? Because Sundays, hey, I don't take it lightly. Thank you all, pastors. Sundays are important.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes life's hanging in the balance. We're between the living and the dead many times. But thank God answers are being given.
Amen.
Where did I go? Oh, I was praying, yeah. It's always good for a preacher to pray, huh? So I was praying on a Saturday night, and I said, like, all right, Lord, if this is the direction you want me to go, you know, show me. What does he do? How many times has he done that for us? The next day, our pastors, Rachel, somebody gives a word. Somebody gives you that little bit of confirmation. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. Go this way. Mm-hmm. So what did she sing? The gardener. The yes. gardener of my heart.
Amen.
I remain in you. You remain in me.
Yes.
So this is something that I know King James. I know that King Jimmy, it's not always easy to understand. The whole abide thing can be, huh?
Right.
What? What does that really mean? But, you know, in the Greek, it actually means, is meno, M-E-N. Oh, I'm not trying to be smart because I know I can't fool y'all. But it's interesting that the word is used in several different ways. The abide means to stay, to endure, to remain, to live, to dwell, and to continue. And all these things, if we could just make it simple today, if he can make it simple for me to understand, anybody can get it.
Amen.
So, okay, let me go there. So John 15, thank you, Alan. John 15, and this is, it's like poetic. You know, especially the King James. I know it's, sometimes it's hard to understand, but it doesn't take that the word is still with that. It's still truth. It's still the word is still alive, and he can still reveal everything that you need in any scripture, however it's written. But he shows you here. You know what? I'm going to read it from the King James just to be old school for a second. I'm the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. He's the gardener. He's the vine dresser. He's in message, it's the farmer.
Amen.
And what is he doing? He's providing for the vine.
Amen.
He's providing for the vine. He says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus. This is the I am. Back all the way back to Moses. When Moses started stuttering and trying to give every excuse of why I can't go. Can I take somebody with me? I can't do this or that. God almost says it with a little bit of attitude. You read it in Amplified, said, tell them, I am that I am, has sent you.
Amen.
Okay. Yes, sir. So this is the same one. John, the Gospel of John is likened under the I am gospel.
Yes.
I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of men. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and life.
Amen.
I am the Son of God. Amen. So, you start to see how good the Father is. They're always one. They're always working together. So he says, and my Father is a husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that he beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He cleanses, that he may bring forth more fruit. The Father wants more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He's talking to his disciples, those that have followed him. He says, abide in me, Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in the vine. Abide in me. So if he didn't kind of make it clear enough right there, let's look at verse 5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm like, oh, wait, that ain't right. So, how many know in this flesh, there's nothing good? Yeah. That's what Paul said. In this flesh, there's nothing good. Yeah. What about a carnal mind that is in enmity with God? Mm-hmm. We know it's nothing good. I'm not saying you run home to mom and said, that preacher said I'm nothing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, not saying even for you to make it one of your confession. I am nothing. I can do nothing. I can know nothing. I am nothing. No. But in the same breath, you could say inside of me, I'm nothing. But in him, but in Christ, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So you begin to say, hey, it's all about him. Look, the branch does not uphold the vine. The branch does not provide. The vine upholds the branch. The vine supplies everything that the branch will need. The branch just has to stay. Just has to stay connected. Just has to stay next to Jesus. Staying next to Jesus. Okay. I was wondering when that was going to come up. I love the Lord, man. He's been so good to us. I was going to tell Luke and Audrey, I know what I want on my... If the Lord tarries is coming, and I go by the way of the grave. I know this is weird, but but I'm just saying, on my gravestone, I want Acts 4, where it talks about Peter. It says the Pharisees and all of them recognized and understood that these were unlearned men, that these were just fishermen. They're pretty much just worthless part of society. But what they did see, they had been with Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And all I can say is, I've been with Jesus.
Amen.
Have I been perfectly stayed next to his side? No. I've been serving God since October 25th, 1996. A senior year of high school. I know that makes me old.
No, it
but I know where I've come from. It's not that I was always close with Jesus. It's because he didn't leave me.
Amen.
He never forsaken me. He's begun a good work in me and in you, and he will complete and do what he has started in you. But you got to stay next to him. You got to continue in him. You got to be with him. I've begun to really embrace the nothing. What do you mean? I'm beginning to embrace more and more my nothingness. And you know, like, huh? If you realize it, Jesus did this. Jesus realized and knew he was nothing in himself. Even Jesus, he embraced nothing. He embraced nothing on his own. John 5:19. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 5:30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not only to please myself, but to him who sent me. Don't you want to please him? Faith pleases him. John 8:28-29. So Jesus said, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He's with you. He has not left me alone, for I will always do what pleases him. Jesus knew the nothing. Nothing on my own. That's what the branch is. It seems so weak. It seems so without. Could be brittle. But it's nothing without the vine. Amen? So, this is our abiding life. Just like Jesus, He is our source. Look, many of us have many resources, but He is our only source. He is the one source. This is the branch relying on the vine. The vine provides everything. The vine provides the strength. The vine provides the health. The vine provides the grace. The vine provides everything. The branch is just staying right there. And what's so wonderful about that? The husbandman, the father, the vine dresser, us Gentiles, He's engrafted us in.
Yeah.
Ooh, by his hand, He's put us in the vine. Man, you know, we were a wild vine, a feral. The branches don't provide. They don't lift up. It completely relies on all that the root can supply. Life is in the vine. Okay, I want you to see something in John 15:7. I'll read it in King James. Will you bring it up in the Amplified? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Mm-hmm. How simple is that? Amen. Fruit is automatic when you're in the vine.
That's right. Yeah.
It should be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's saying it's so simple. It's automatic. When you're abiding in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I like the Amplified. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain and in you and continue to live in your hearts. Right there.
Yep. Amen.
Where does the word go?
In our heart.
In our heart. On the good soul of our heart. It will come back 30, 60, and 100-fold. You got to watch out for the stealing of the devil, the seed. You got to watch out for a hard ground. You got to break up that ground. You got to watch out for the lusts of the world and the other things that try to come in and choke the word, try to cover up the word so it don't get the light. I've asked myself that, what is it in me that is choking out Jesus? Choking out the word. Choking out His voice. And so you have to ask yourself sometimes. Now, I love this. And continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Where does the word live? In our heart. Here's the deal. Pastor's been teaching on this. Faith. 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 Speaking. Speaking. I believe, therefore I speak. Therefore, I speak because I believe.
Amen.
So, what's in your heart will come out. Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Your heart speaks, but speak His word. I think we need to take a little hint from the Roman centurion that came to Jesus and said, come heal my servant. Will you heal my servant? And Jesus said, let's go. And what did He said? No, wait. All you got to do, speak Thy word only.
Amen.
Is that not a hint to us to only speak His word?
Amen.
But when we abide in Him, that word now abides in us.
Right.
It's the word of God. It's this Jesus that we're standing to. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. This word in Jesus is the same. Are you standing next to this word? If you are, you're standing next to Jesus.
Amen.
You stand right, and it's getting down into your heart. Your heart speaks. Speak His word. We live in Him and have His words come alive. The fruit is automatic. Ask and it's done. Hey, when His words abide in us, He watches over to perform it. What does He watch over? He can't watch over your theology. He can't watch over your opinion. He can't watch over your attitude, your theory, your this or that. He watches over His word to perform it. That is Jeremiah 1:12. Amplified says it like this. Then said the Lord to me, "You have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." What has Pastor said the last few weeks? I love it. Hebrews 3:1, he says, we have an apostle and high priest of faith that watches over and holds on to our profession or our confession. Mm-hmm. What has he said? It's a saying the same thing. Yeah. Saying the same thing. Saying the same word. What are we saying? The word. We're speaking the word. We're speaking the word. We're speaking the word. We're saying the same thing. And I love it. I can just imagine Jesus in the throne of God. Father, they're saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing. They're speaking your word. Let's perform it. Come on, let's perform it. Let's bring it to pass. Let's bring it a part of their life. Let's make it real to them. Because He's watching over to perform it. And Jesus is holding on to your words. That is powerful how your words. Powerful how your words. Jesus said in their word, out of the abundance of the heart and mouth, your words will justify. Your words will condemn. He says, make the tree good. Make the fruit good. Make the tree evil. Make the fruit evil. And you will be known by your fruit.
Yes.
So, man, speak the word. He's watching over performance. So when His word abides in us, I already said that. Okay. Now, like you and me, sometimes we ask, is this abiding attainable? Is it doable? Is it for the elite or the super spiritual? You know what I mean? I mean, come on. Well, I guess, you know, the pastor can, or Moses can, or this or that can. But no, He's calling all of us.
Yes.
All of us. The branch just stays there. It enjoys the fruit, and the Father loves it, and He's glorified because of it.
Yeah.
But, so I'm like y'all. I said, so, God, what does this look like? What is this for us, living in 2023? What does this look like for us to abide? Mm-hmm. I don't understand it all, Lord. I'm honest. I don't know. It's, what does this really mean? It's for the whosoever will. All right. Go to Mark 5:21. So I love it. Hey, God's not afraid of your questions.
Amen.
At all.
Amen.
And He wants to answer them. Sometimes, a lot of times He asks me questions to see if I will actually dig into it. And you're like, okay, I know where you're going with that. You know what? When He's dealing with your heart, He's dealing with you over something, you've been abiding with Him, and He says, this. There's this one thing. Like, oh, come on, not that. But I love this. God will show you, just like He's going to do here. He will show you by His word. He'll confirm it by His word and through His word, by His word. I don't know how I said that, but let's read Mark 5:21. Let me go there. So this is the story of Jairus, the daughter of Jairus. So this is going to be somebody that is just like us. Who are they going to stay next to? When all the world is going berserk. And I don't know what the impossible looks so impossible. But who are you going to stand next to?
Amen.
I love this. In verse 21, And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. If you're going to abide, you have to humble yourself. There are certain ingredients or whatever you want to call it, points to live this abiding life. You got to humble yourself. Your humility is your worship.
Amen.
He came to the right person, and he fell at the right person's feet, the only one that could do something for his daughter. I got a little story. Like I said, in my senior year in high school, I'd just been serving God for like 2 or 3 weeks. You know, still pretty raw. Just like, oh, you know, help me, God. And during that time, I disconnected from friends, even my own brother. Like, God's going to restore that one day. But I was like, Lord, show me, help me. Keep me understanding. I remember laying on my bunk bed. Me and my brother shared a room. And I could touch the ceiling. I said, Lord, give me understanding. Give me wisdom. You know, I was just so happy to be forgiven. I mean, that was it. I was just happy to be forgiven. So anyway, my high school was between classes, and I remember I was walking right by the gym right outside of Dickinson High School. And I don't know how this really applies, but it's funny anyway. So anyway, I'm walking along, and I see two cute girls coming my way. And, you know, full of grace, I almost trip and fall. And at that point, still raw, like I said, what came out of my mouth? Oh, Nikes. Not the good one. No. You know. I don't have to spell it out. But I had been spending time with the Lord. My parents get a witness to it. I'd just go lock myself in a room. I listened to old school Phil Driscoll, I Exalt Thee. I wore that tape out. It was all the way back in the tape days. But I'd been spending time with the Lord, and immediately, it's like David said, my heart smote me. I was like, oh, man. And so I remember walking towards the basketball lockers where I used to play basketball and all that. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for cussing, you know. And at that point, it was years that I cussed again. It wasn't only until I got married. I'm kidding. It was actually in a volleyball game. Sand volleyball game. Years later, it's like, oh, God, forgive me. I knew she would like that. But what did he, immediately after I just, Papaw, y'all don't know him, but I loved him dearly. He used to teach our Sunday schools. He'd always say, repent quickly. Yeah. Be quick to repent. And I just did that. That simple thing. I turned away from the direction of what I just did. And then the Lord began to remind me. What did he say? My son made himself of no reputation.
Amen.
Made himself low and came as a servant. He made himself of no reputation. And then the Lord just said, you still think you have a reputation. You still think you have an ego. You still think you got to uphold yourself to be cool or whatever else. He said, you got to let all that go. You got to let all that go. And what did Jairus do? He had a title. He had a position. He was the ruler of the synagogue. But does that mean anything if your daughter is dying? It don't mean a thing. Your title, your whatever. You just humble yourself. That don't mean nothing. My girl's 11. So I know I would do anything. Forget my title. Forget all of that. I'm humbling myself and I'm falling at the Master's feet. Amen. He fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I prayeth, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. I love that simple little thing. And Jesus went with him. Did Jairus have great faith? Was he like the Roman centurion that said, "Only speak your word, you know, and my daughter will be healed"? No. Jesus will go with any one of us that just has the littlest faith. Yes. That is good news for anybody with just the smallest mustard seed kind of faith. If you will cry out to Jesus, fall at his feet, make yourself of no reputation, and say, he will come to your house. I love it. He'll meet you right where you are at. So, and Jesus went with them, and much people followed him and thronged him. Okay, I got notes. I can't even read my own writing. Okay, let's watch in the middle of this how Jairus abides, how he stays, what he does. I could say it like this: abiding stays quiet. That's one little attribute, but we'll get there in a second. So, can you stay next to Jesus when you're not in control? When you're not in control of the timeline? Uh-oh. When he stops, do you stop? When he goes, do you go? For me in my house, I'm staying next to him.
Amen.
So, verse 25, the story is interrupted by, you know, like that certain woman. There's always a certain woman. Like Nacho said, the crazy lady. And a certain woman would had an issue of blood 12 years. She didn't have just one issue. She had a bunch of issues. More issues than the National Geographic. Ba-dum-bum. Where's Lewis? I know Lewis was here. He'd love that. But cert woman, she had many issues. And look what she does. Look what happens during, it could be a delay. Y'all need to hear this. I know you've heard it. Your delay is not your denial. There's no denying. It may seem like a delay. You may seem like, can we just get this woman out of here? So here we go. And a certain woman, which he had issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I mean, it's bad enough, the doctors these days. Can you imagine then? When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Listen here. I meant to say it earlier for Jairus. He said, if you just come to my house and lay your hands on my daughter. What he said is what he believed. I believe, therefore I speak. What you speak is what you believe. And what she said here is a lesson of faith if you will recognize it. Because sometimes in your delay, it's how you react is if you're going to get through that delay. So what did Jairus do? He just kept staying next to Jesus. But I love this, verse 28. For she said, again, not perfect faith. Not She was just trying to get to the hem of his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jairus is watching it. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue that had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging and saith, who touched me? There's a little quote. The flesh presses, but faith touches. There's a difference. Okay. She kept saying, I meant to read this in 28, and the Amplified says, and she kept saying. She kept saying. I bet when she was going to Jesus, if I could just touch him. She was unclean. And that day, you couldn't even be out in the crowd. You weren't even supposed to be out there. She was unclean. I could just see her almost walking on her hand, crawling on her hands and knees, trying to get us to kept saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. What was that? That was coming from her heart. What she believed. Amen. And she, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Mm-hmm. How long would that take? Women can talk. Hey. I'm sitting up here, I'm the one talking right now, but probably for 2 more weeks, I won't say a word. I'm just not one to talk a lot, but, you know. But she said all. 12 years ago. It was a cold day. I mean, I'm saying that, I'm just trying to be goofy, but what is now happening to Jairus? As he's saying in his delay, his timeline, that he is not in control. You can either see it one or two ways. I ask this question. Where is that? Wait a second. Could your delay be a time where Jesus is trying to encourage your faith? In the middle of your delay, could he be strengthening, encouraging, building up your faith, because he knows what's about to come. He knows what's going on. Okay. So, I love Jesus. He takes his time. Doesn't he? When you face to face with Jesus. And he said unto her, daughter. Remember, she said, I touched the hem of his garment. I want to be whole. Not just healed from the plague. I believe she was more than that. She was broke. She was an outcast. I can just imagine the anguish, the depression, the secluded, you had to say, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And Jesus made her clean. And Jesus says, daughter. He restores everything right there. Daughter. Only way that Jesus can. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Peace, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Complete peace. I would love to see the years after what Jesus did in her. Amen. We're going to get to see her one day. Amen? So right here, this is, will you continue, now back to Jairus, will you continue with Jesus when it is an impossible with man? Will you continue with Jesus when your time is up? Or everybody is saying, your time is up. The devil is saying, time's up. It's over. No more time. In verse 35, while he yet spake to the woman, the daughter, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further? So the people that came from Jairus' house, many times, they're good people. Sometimes they're on either your own house, your own family. Mm-hmm. But they didn't understand.
That's right.
They don't know all. They don't know everything that God's spoken into your heart. They don't know it. Many times through even good people, good family, the enemy will say, it's over. Time's up. The enemy says, you can't. You're not able. It won't work for you. You can't produce. Your promise won't come to pass. So why bother? Why bother going down to that church? Why bother praying? Why bother giving? Why bother going helping somebody? Why bother do all of that? And those are many times, those that we care for, those we love. But yeah, I love this. Amplify, bring it up. I know, Dolly, you know this one. Listen to what Jesus said. They said, and then he says. I love it.
Verse 36.
Yes. This is amplified, and you got to love this. Overhearing but ignoring what they said. Jesus isn't ignoring his daughter. But truth and life is over. The facts is over, even death. Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing. Jesus had to quickly address fear. Because when the impossible and your time is up, they're saying it is up, it is due, it is now. And Jesus is so good. But ignoring what they said, Jesus said. So the faith and fear can't live in the same house.
Amen.
They can't be together. So Jesus quickly addresses fear and says, no, we're going to address that right now. We're going to address some other people around this right now here in just a second. But you've got to only keep on believing. What he commands, he empowers. Because Jairus stayed right next to Jesus, he was empowered to believe the impossible. My question is, in the middle of that, what do I keep on believing? Right? What do I keep on believing? You have to go back to what you first said. Where you first came to Jesus. What did you first say? I believe, therefore I speak. He said, if you come to my house and you lay hands on my daughter. Here, actually, I see it. I got to read it to you. My little daughter, lie at the point of death. I pray thee, come thee and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live.
Amen.
So that's what you go back to, what you first believed. I believe, therefore I speak. And he's saying, okay, I can believe in that. And that is what he said. It was what was in his heart. He said, Jesus said, believe what's in your heart. Believe what you have spoken. Only keep on believing. So I could look around here, and I know testimonies after testimonies where many of you have been just right at this point. Only keep on believing. When the doctor said, the counselor said, it's over. You cannot produce. You cannot make. You cannot bring forth. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. But wasn't it worth it to endure?
Amen.
There's many of you in here that could say, I now hold up my Isaac.
Amen.
Come on. There's people in here with testimony saying, all I did was stay next to him and
Amen.
Just kept on believing what I first
Amen.
Said.
Amen.
And what's so wonderful about that? He is the author Yes. and finisher of our faith. He is the one that first caused us to believe in the first place. And he will be the one that's going to bring it to pass.
Yes.
He put that in his heart. Just come to Jesus. And Jesus went with him. Amen?
Amen.
So the word, verse 37. He said, be not afraid. Only believe. Only keep on believing. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So there is a point in all of us when we're following Jesus. There's separations that's going to take place.
Yeah.
There's points of your walk with God. Well, you don't need to be around doubters. You have to be around believers.
Amen.
And we are a place of believers' fellowship. We will believe with you.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
I love it that the people that came from his house, no. Let's bring Peter. Yeah, I know they could have been like the three amigos or the three stooges half the time, and Jesus had to like, hey, y'all are going with me. I got to watch y'all. But at this point, he knew that these guys believed. And it's amazing how if you will allow God, when you're abiding in him, he will give you friends of precious like faith. But you have to be forewarned. They may be nothing like you. They have no interests at all that are the same. You don't do the same hobbies. You don't do none of that. But what do you have in common? Jesus.
Amen.
And God, if you allow him, as you abide in him, he will separate the junk, the doubters. Those that say, oh, don't bother. Don't bother doing that. Do you really need to speak in tongues? Don't bother. Right? But Jesus is saying, hey, I've got new people that are going to get with you and believe with you.
Amen.
So what did Jesus do? And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Can you continue with Jesus when the impossible is looking more and more impossible? He came to his house. Will you continue in Jesus in the middle of the waves of emotions? What's amazing, they say the custom back then was that they would pay mourners and grievers. It's like, I don't want you in my house. You know what I mean? That is, but hey, every culture is different and all that. So, but what is it? Jesus, he comes into the house with people that are believing.
Yeah.
There are people that are believing. And he comes into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, whatever that means, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.
Yeah.
Just blows your mind, you know? You just like, but will you continue when you don't all completely understand? Will you continue in Jesus when there's emotions all around? This is the world. This is the world tossed to and fro, unstable, only led by emotions. Jesus is not moved by feelings or emotions, but by faith.
Right.
Faith in his words. I love this. In John 15, later on, it talks about you abiding.
Mm-hmm.
And you having fruit. And if you abide in my love, if you love me, keep my commandments, and so forth, so on. But it gets down towards the end. He said, in the middle of all that, the world's going to hate you. The world's going to hate you. You're not from the world. Just like they hated me, they hated the Father.
Yeah.
And then what do you see right here? This is the world. Just controlled by their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
One point, they're crying and weeping. And the next thing, they're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from crying and weeping to laughing? They're just going by their emotions. Will you continue with Jesus when they mock you, when they persecute you, when they hate you? And here it is, allow the word in you to put them out. Put them out of your house. And what happens here? And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered into where the damsel was lying. Will we continue? Will we keep continue even when it seems completely impossible? Just stay next to Jesus. Just stay next to Jesus. Let those words live in you. Look. And what is Jesus is so kind. It says, it almost says like the damsel, he says, it's like sweetheart. I could just see him getting on his knee. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. So sweetly. Only like Jesus can do. Look, if you will continue with him, he becomes the I am, the resurrection and the life. Listen, this is the same word as abide. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Hallelujah.
If you continue, if you abide, what will it do? That truth that you know that's real to you, it will make you free.
Amen.
What is this freedom? It's more than just, I'm free. I'm free. No. When you get in the Son, 836, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Really and unquestionably free. When we continue in him, we are made free. We have been made free from sin, free from sickness, free from poverty, free from shame, and free from death.
Yes. Yes.
It is written, 1 Corinthians 15, is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
Amen.
Even death, he said, arise. So, this is abiding in Jesus. Can we do those things? Can we continue with him?
Yes.
Yes, amen. I love it.
Yes,
I will. Amen?
Yes.
I will continue with him. I will make myself of no reputation. I'm just going to stay next to Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus only said those few words to him. Don't be seized with alarm. But keep on believing. And if you continue to worry, he's going to make you free. And more free. Hey, if shouldn't we be more free from last year than we are?
Yes.
We're more free this year than last year. That's better. So there is in the abiding, in the staying, in the remaining, in the continuing, we will have life. We will have fruit.
Amen.
We'll be free from all this junk.
Amen?
Amen? So the only other thing that everyone in here is qualified to abide.
Yes.
Everyone of you, if it's simple enough for me, all of you. He wants all of you. He says, come boldly.
Amen.
To the throne of grace. He wants you to be able to abide because he wants to produce fruit.
Yes.
In you. He wants to produce life. Oh, and it said the last part, they were in amazement.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I forgot that. Lord, help me. When you are set free, the amazement, the joy.
Yes.
John 15, it says, when you abide in me, my joy will be in you and complete in you.
Amen.
Can you imagine the joy of the mama and Jairus? And just amazement. And you go outside and those people that were just mocking you, their jaws are on the ground. What? He's doing all that. He wants joy. He wants you to have the strength. He wants to do these things everywhere. He said, if my joy will be in you, complete in you. And if you ask anything, the Father in my name, he will do it. That's the life, staying next to him, staying in him. So, I think we have mostly home folks here. Amen. So, last thing, I'm closing. Oh, okay, good. Would everybody stand with me?
Yes.
Who will take up that invitation? to abide in Him.
Amen.
Okay, I got a simple practice. Many of you, how many of you pray in the Spirit? Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
If you didn't know it, you may not even know it. You're abiding in Him.
Yeah.
You're abiding in Him. It's because, what did He say at the end of John 15? He says, I'm going to send you another Comforter.
Yes.
The Spirit of truth, which is one that's going to show you the truth, that's one that's going to make you free.
Amen.
And so what is that hidden thing, or that unseen thing from the Spirit? When we pray, that we were just pulling our supply from the vine.
Amen.
We're pulling from the inside, from the vine. So when we pray in the Spirit,
yes,
we're pulling in the sap of God.
Lord.
He gave me a little acronym. The Spirit of God, the anointing, and the power of God.
Amen.
So when you pray in the Spirit, you are pulling in that supply from Him.
Amen.
You know it's unseen. I know your mind is unfruitful. It doesn't like it. But when your spirit prays, it prays to God. It speaketh mysteries. So that abiding, staying, continuing power is in it when you pull it from the Spirit. Pull it from the thing that is hidden, just like the vine that is feeding and giving the branches life. When we pray in the Spirit, fruit,
yes,
fruit starts to happen. Starts to die. So, how about we just do that? Can we do that?
Yes.
How about anybody that has not received the gift of speaking in tongues? Received the Spirit of God. Is everybody received from the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Yes? Amen? All right. So we're just going to do that just for a second before we close out, and we're going to pray. We just thank You, Father. We just thank You, Father. We pray in the Spirit. We pull from the sap of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your comfort and Your edification and exhortation of Your saints, Lord. We just thank You. I love it that the in Christ, the I in, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you've been hanging in the vine, you've been in the vine, you've been in Christ, you've been abiding, you've been continuing in Him, what happens? Christ in you. Now He gets in you the hope of glory. That is not waiting for the glory sweet by and by. No, that is expectation of the glory of God in and through you. So He does not just want us to have a fruit that we just partake of ourselves. We have fruit that we give out. We have expectation that the glory of God, wherever we go, we bring forth life,
yes,
and health. And what we speak and what we say, God moves through it and through us, because Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope and expectation of His manifestation.
Amen.
In our lives and through our lives.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Beverly? Beverly, do you have anything? Okay. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I knew it. I love her spirit. I pray that she would. You got it? Here. You got it?
Whatever.
Thank You, Father.
Okay. Thank y'all, every one of y'all, for standing with me. But what I want to say,
To the best of my knowledge, I had not heard this phrase ever. And it came 3 times in 2 days. Mm. Denial does not mean.
Yes.
Delay does not mean denial.
Yes.
And for any of us, I know that word has really ministered to my heart. But there are those here. You need to grab hold of that word.
Amen.
That just because something has been, seemed like it's been a long time in coming, you've got it.
Amen.
You've got it now.
Amen.
And just keep on proclaiming.
Yes.
Jesus, thank you. I'm abiding.
Yes.
I've got it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I end with that. I ain't trying to say no more. We got it. Because when we believe, therefore we speak.
Amen.
And we have it.
That's
we it. Have it. Amen?
Amen?
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
We just thank you for your word. We just thank you that Jesus is the true vine. And the Father is taking care of the vine, providing for the vine, and the vine is providing everything we need. So we just abide today.
Yes.
We abide and continue and stay next to your word, that your word gets inside of us and it brings forth much fruit. And it's alive.
Yes.
It's alive. Your word is alive. And coming forth, we just thank you, Father, that we can abide.
Amen.
And you make us more free. Free and free and free. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you this day. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy, your tender loving kindness. We just thank you, and I thank you for your protection over every family. No evil shall befall us, nor any plague come near our dwelling place. You give your angels charge over us. You keep us in our coming and our going. In the city, in the field, wherever we go, you keep us, you protect us. You are with us. You are with us.
Yes, amen.
And by the Holy Ghost, you are in us.
Amen.
You are in us.
Right.
Make it alive. And we just thank you, Father, for it. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.